Hey everyone, this is Stully Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw, and on today's episode, we're going to talk about how to raise a Series A round.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Ooh, so far I think, you know, raising money has always been a highly in-demand topic for us to talk about. But so far, we've actually covered a number of angles on this, but they were all kind of earlier stage, right?
So you raise money. All were like pre-seed, fan friends and family, or seed round. I think a lot of the advice there was, a lot of the advice we've given is very specific to that. I agree.
Exactly. So now what do you do? Let's take it one step at a time, right? So you have a startup, you raised some money, from angel investors, seed round, whatever the setup was, and you're thinking about a Series A, you're thinking about needing to raise more money and getting to that kind of a funding event. What are some of the, kind of milestones and what's the setup that you need to create for your company to be able to raise a Series A successfully? And then, because it's always a fun angle to talk about, what are some of the mistakes that you've seen people take when they're trying to raise an A, which is probably, they're not quite ready yet, but they think they are, or something along those lines, I would assume. So let's talk about kind of the basics you think a company has to cover to be even able to consider Series A, and then some of the mistakes you've seen, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, let's start with something really fundamental. So like one of the biggest things about raising money, especially at a Series A, is that you should have already addressed a bunch of the risk in your business. So at this point, and now again, there's a big caveat here, which is if you are a biotech company raising a Series A, there's different sets of risk than if you're an e-commerce company raising a Series A, or than if you're a SaaS company raising a Series A. So that's the caveat, which is for your industry, your type of business model, the risk that you should have addressed by Series A is a lot different. I'm going to give one other caveat, which is if you are somebody who's raised money a bunch and our experience with startups, sometimes the first round you do looks like a Series A and you raise $5 or $10 or more million. So those are the few caveats for you. But high level, the bottom line is people are giving you money to basically grow the business at this point. They're not just giving you money to build the product. They're not giving you money to go validate a bunch of market risk or anything like that. You should have enough to know what your next milestones look like and how much money you need for them and why you're taking that money in and what you're going to do with it. While at your seed round, you typically have a lot less clarity about what you're going to do with the money and how it's going to grow your business. It's less believable at that time. Now it needs to be much more believable, and you should already have a bunch of levers in place on how you're going to do marketing, how you're going to do sales, how, where the issues are that you need to resolve, where the risk still remains, things like that.
Yeah, beautiful. And one thing that I've noticed oftentimes is that, and this is especially true in Silicon Valley, I don't know, I'm assuming less so around the world, but because the environment for startups have become increasingly friendly over the last decade, right? Without a doubt. And so I think a lot of startups have had an easier and easier time to raise the seed round, and seed rounds have become less complicated, I would say, in general, right? More casual and more kind of, as you said, you don't have to prove that much. You want to, whatever the reasons are why an investor is interested, you don't have to yet show that much. It's understood that the business is still in the early days. All you have to show is a lot of potential. And, if you're in a market that's interesting, or if you have early traction that looks really promising, or if the team is really strong, that might be all you need to be able to raise, a $400,000 or even a few million dollars these days, fairly in quotes, quote unquote, casually, right? There's not that much due diligence going on because the business just started. There's not that much paperwork. The terms, there's pretty kind of agreed on terms right now, even around the world on these things. So the experience, although it can still be soul crushing and it's very, very difficult for the average founder, the experience has gotten a lot easier in the seed round. And then what I've seen again and again and again over the last few years is that founders who raise the seed round successfully then get kind of tripped up in the Series A and are surprised at how much harder it is, how much more time it takes, how much higher the standards are. and kind of how the conversation changes. And the task of raising money is not just do the same thing as you did in the seed round. And that's something I've observed a lot of founders trip over, where they raise a really successful seed round, and then when they go to raise the Series A, they struggle and they fail at it, and then they don't know what to do, right? Is that something that you, I know that you're really kind of in the trenches on this and have your finger on the pulse. Is that something you observed as well?
Yeah, I mean, every round, it actually gets a lot harder unless you've got your metrics in place and you have a very good handle on your business. So there is an easy way to solve this, which is operate your business as if you're raising money all the time and need to prove to outside investors that this is a great business, which most people are actually not running their business like that. They're just so caught up in the day-to-day. They're not stepping back and thinking through, what is this business? How is it going to grow? And am I making the investments in the right areas? I mean, one of my favorite founders, who I don't have that many favorites, but this person, they are so good. And what they told me is basically that, hey, by doing this deck process, they're raising like a Series B this time. By doing this deck process, it actually, I love it. And I'm like, what? You love it? It's like the pitching and all that. Yeah, that's tricky and you figure it out. But I love it because of the clarity it gives me about my business. And so even him, who is pretty good at raising money, running his business and things like that, has gotten pretty good at it. He's someone I've helped since his basically earliest round. He says it clarifies his business, and he operates his business really well. He knows his metrics, and he's one of the few people that's really, really, really demolished it in terms of taking the frameworks I've given him and done it a lot better. But the thing is, like, most people don't run their business, even him, in a way where like it can be presentable to an investor, an outside investor, anytime. And so that's something to think about. Like, you know, every round the bar gets higher, you're raising more money, your valuation's higher, and what you need to achieve in your business in terms of revenue growth and user growth and all those kind of things is much higher. The bar is just higher. And so that's why it's like whatever you did for your seed round to raise it, the kind of investors you talk to are much different than the kind you're going to talk to for your Series A. And for many of us, especially like the first company we're starting, which is where a lot of people start and end, you're basically sitting there and not knowing that the expectation is different all of a sudden. But with these investors, and you don't know unless you're getting great advice or you're really thinking through your business in a way where you're like, okay, this round, I'm not raising $500,000. I'm raising $5 million or $10 million. I'm asking for that. And these people, they're going to want to know what I'm going to do with the money. It's a lot bigger check.
Yeah, that's crazy. I love the, just to step back to the earlier comment, I love that, you know, for that super experienced founder, creating a deck and designing it and basically taking that high-level view over the entire business and what's currently going on and the risks and where the business is going and having to put that in a format that is limited, you know, so it's not going to be, you know, thousands of slides, but, you know, and that has kind of that needs to boil down to the core numbers and the core things that are going on. That forces him into like really gaining an overview of what's going on in his business himself, because he's doing this process in the right way, right? And we talked in the earlier episode about how to create a killer pitch deck, and we said, don't lie to investors. So I think that that's a big prerequisite in here. But I love that creating a pitch deck for him, because he's doing it the right way, is actually helping him run his business and understand his business better, and not just a chore, a homework he needs to do for these investors that presents zero value for him or his business internally. Now, I know that, just to make sure that we're going to plug this here, I know that you just recently launched your newest product, which is super exciting. And it's actually a product this time that's, you know, you've always helped entrepreneurs, but this is a product for a very specific big pain point, which is creating pitch decks to raise money, right? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. It's called Dugo, and it's getdugo.com. And just went into early access. It might be a little more open by now, by the time this episode comes out. But the whole idea is that my partner and I found that people have trouble getting feedback on their pitch deck. So we're creating a tool that enables a process to make that easier. And then we also noticed that a lot of people are using a lot of the document sharing tools to actually share their pitch deck. So since we were building feedback, we also have the ability to allow you to get feedback on your pitch deck from people you already know and make it really easy for them and you, and also share it with investors. So that's the software. And it actually came through, and it's free to use. Everyone can use it for free. And it actually came from this gentleman, not the idea, but he was actually the one I was talking about that talks about, you know, the clarity that the deck process gives him. He was one of the first people that I actually ended up helping a few years ago raise his round. And he really inspired the framework, because the framework existed that I was using, but he really took it and ran with it. And it really inspired me, because I don't think if someone like him would have just taken it and did it, like literally he made massive changes to his deck within like 3 days. And within another 7, he already had a term sheet before I could really introduce him to any investors I knew. And it was just amazing. And it really inspired the whole process that giving feedback on a pitch deck and getting it is a painful process. So, and that goes for any round, even like really like later stage Series D rounds, you're still needing to create something and get feedback on it, regardless of who you are. Nobody really just creates a pitch deck and says it's done. Most people, everyone literally creates a pitch deck and then goes and gets feedback from people, whether it's internal people on their team and advisors or other investors or existing investors. So I think that like this is such a critical piece. And when it comes to these rounds, like the Series A's and all that, you're usually getting feedback from experts to tell you, how am I doing? Is this any good? What am I missing? And you want to do that because, as we talked about in the last podcast about pitch decks, you don't want to show an investor something that's not ready for them.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much there. I really want to like dive into my early, like I had some flashbacks as you were talking, like the first week I arrived in Silicon Valley 10 years ago and I had the most horrendous pitch deck ever. We should actually put that online one day and just comment
on
it.
I'm down. It's yeah, gonna I got a tool for that.
Oh my God, this is such awesome. A painful, like awesome. Embarrassing experience. I had the worst pitch that you've ever seen in your life. I'm pretty sure about that. And I was dying to get, I knew intrinsically this was probably wrong, but I couldn't get people to give me really critical feedback on it. I remember showing it to really experienced VCs and telling them, what's wrong about this? And they were looking at me and going, no, I think that you did a pretty good job. I'm like, no, what can I do better? No, it's all good. They probably thought it's so bad, it's not even worth giving this kid any feedback. They're just like, how do I get out of this meeting as quickly as possible? And it took a really long time to get to that first conversation with somebody that was both experienced and really an awesome and honest person to tell me this is dog shit. And I was like, I know. Okay, give me some honest what. What would you change? How would you change it? And that, like, getting really honest, experienced feedback was a massive game changer. So, like, I had all these flashbacks as you were talking about this, or like how crucial it is to get good feedback from the right people early on. So definitely check out Heat's new product. It's pretty dope. All right, so switching gears really quickly back to the Series A, you know, obviously you want to make sure that you're ready for it, that your business needs it. There's a real purpose to raising that money. And you know, often too many times, the only purpose for raising more money is that the company, the founder is like, well, we obviously need to raise more money because we just want to keep hiring more people and keep running the business and we're not making enough money. But that's not a good enough reason to raise a Series A. You need to want to have a real good purpose. That's why we talked about the metrics, right? What are you going to do with this money? How is this money going to get you to that next level in the business, either to profitability or to hyper growth or to a certain milestone in terms of customer numbers or technology built, something that has real purpose other than running your business for another year or two? That's not enough, right? That nobody cares about that. And then, you know, you want to make sure that you, you know, leveled up the business, decreased and eliminated a lot of the risks at that level. But when you raise a Series A, oftentimes it's not just the money that you take, but at that point, at the latest, you actually, with the money comes also people that will take some board seats. And I know that that's probably a separate episode we should do at some point, like how to design your board. I know you have a lot of experience in that, but maybe just a few kind of high-level tips. What are some things beyond just the money and that you need to be kind of at the next level to be able to raise that money? What are some other things that come along with a Series A that people don't really think through and they need to consider really well? I know one to me is that with the money, you will give up one or two board seats probably in the Series A. So figuring out who is going to take over that board seat is so crucial. And then how that's going to change kind of the way your company runs and operates and the influence your investors have in the day-to-day business. That's a pretty crucial thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And even your thing about the boards, like, yeah, we'll definitely do. I think we'll just do an episode on that. Sometimes you get a board. Most of the time you get a board. And the biggest tips I have is like your relationship with the investor at a Series A, there's usually going to be one lead investor. There are caveats, but that's the majority of the time. There's a Series A investor. They're one of the top tier firms or not, but they're putting in a chunk of the money. And so you actually have to have a great relationship with the partner that's going to be on your board, or if you don't have a board, the partner that has brought you in and has really committed to your business from just their own clout and their credibility, your champion in the firm, whether they're on the board or not. And you want to make sure that you have a great relationship with them and you can actually hang out with them. And, you know, this is really basic, but I see most founders miss this, and Stella, you're going to love it. But basically, there's a level of brutal honesty that you probably need to have with each other. And I know it's like very weird to say that because, you know, these are investors. They gave you money. You want to be respectful. Brutal honesty doesn't mean you're not respectful. It just means that, like, when they're saying something and it doesn't make sense to you, you need to tell them and say, hey, let me explain to you what's going on, right? Also, you need to have an open space there with them where if you are screwing up or they disagree with what you're doing, that you listen to them and you actually take it in and you know how to process it and it doesn't feel like they're attacking you. And the best word I have is brutal honesty. And the reason is, this is business. They're giving you money. Their business is to give you money so you make them more money. And founders forget that. They're like, oh, this investor loves me. Yeah, they love you because your business is great. They love you because you're probably going to make them money. And they might love you because they actually like you or love you or whatever. But at the end of the day, your job is to make them money. That's why you took their money. And you do that by building a successful business. So the alignment with them is all about growing the business and making sure that you're always focused on creating the biggest business possible because you took investment. Especially at a Series A, this is more critical than ever.
Yeah, I think at a Series A, you're committing yourself to a certain outcome in the business, and you're committing to take disproportional risk to accomplish that outcome, right?
Yeah.
They do it with their money or with their, you know, LP's money, and you do it with your business. You're telling them, I want your money, and what we're going to do is we're going to commit to this crazy outcome for this business, and I'm going to push it to either get there or crash, but that's what we're going to, that's the destination we both are committed to. There's another thing you said that reminded me that, you know, I used to tell founders that, you know, when in the early quote-unquote flirting phase with investors, a lot of times they might make you feel really special and they might make you feel like they're really in love with what you do and they might make you feel that they're really like personally invested in your friend. But remember, they're quote-unquote professionals, right? You're out there to find your true love. Like, you're going to commit to one investor or a group of investors for the next 5, maybe even 10 years. But they're doing this every single day. They're professionals at dating founders and making them feel like they're the only founder that's looking at them, the only one that they're special. So you need to make sure to keep your emotions in check. And I love the way you put it, which is, this is business, right? You want to have a good relationship. You want to be aligned with people. If you can laugh with them, that's awesome, right? If you can be honest with them, that's awesome. If you have some personal interest that they share with you, cool. It makes life easier. It will make business easier. But the core relationship is business relationship. And as long as your business is a good one and it's going the right direction, the relationship is going to probably be good. The moment it doesn't, you can't bank on, you know, well, we always were having such a good time, or they really love me. That love is a love that's attached to the business outcome, not as much to you. And even if it is to you, it doesn't mean that it will prevent them from being either very critical or pushing against your agenda if they think that your agenda is leading the business the wrong way. So being rational about the relationship with those investors, and especially the one that you're going to take on to join your board, is so important. And the other thing you said, I think that we're going to start wrapping this up. So this is going to be my tip for the episode before you can, you know, close it out in a big way with yours, Heaton. I think that, you know, find the right, my tip is really in the seed round as well as in the Series A, but in the Series A even more so, find a very healthy balance between believing in your business, being committed and confident and comfortable in what the vision that you are, you know, laying out in front of those investors, and being brutally honest about the weaknesses, the risks, and the things that are not right now. Like, being able to talk about the shortcomings of your company and your startup and the things that are bad or the risks that are really real, and doing so in a very confident and comfortable way is a very powerful formula and very potent one. If an investor is turned off by the risk, or by any kind of thing that's a weakness right now, they're not the right investor. They're going to get spooked by that, you know, a few months down the line or a year down the line once they discovered it on their own, if you were hiding it during the Series A. So just be very honest and transparent about these things, but still confident. If you can find that kind of balance, magic happens. And the relationship with those investors is going to be much better. Your life is going to be much better because you're not constantly trying to hide away the weaknesses and the risks because you're afraid that people would not put money in your business if they knew about that.
I love that. I love that. I got one, and it's a pretty big one, and one that I see everybody making. A lot of Series A investors have brands. They have online presences. They're doing a lot of active marketing because they have to. Some of them don't. But, and some of the best don't, some of the best do, it doesn't matter. Don't get caught up in the brand. Focus on what they can do for your business. Focus on your relationship with these investors. Do not get caught up in what you know about the brand publicly. Do your own diligence. Talk to people that have funded them, not just ones they introduce you to, but other folks too. You will be surprised at what you learn. And you have to remember that you have to get along with them. And just because they have a great brand outside, in terms of like their marketing and all that, doesn't mean that on the inside it turns out to be the same.
Beautiful. I think that's it from us for this episode. If you liked it and if you're a fan of the podcast, make sure to go to iTunes and give us a rating and give us a review. That always helps to spread the good news of the Startup Chat podcast. And as always, you can always get in touch with us on Twitter at Stelly and at HN Shaw. This is it from us.
Later.